Let us pray. Grant, we beseech thee, Almighty God, that the words which we have heard this day with our outward ears may through thy grace be so grafted inwardly in our hearts that they may bring forth in us the fruit of good living to the honor and glory and praise of thy name through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Not included in my sermon introduction, a thought came to my mind, and I dedicate this to my father, who never was any taller than 5'3". He once made a statement in his childhood, which his siblings, and he had plenty of siblings, he once said, "I'm going to be little when I get big." It was true. Of course, my oldest sister is 5', and my next oldest sister is 5'3", so they followed in my father's short stature. Whenever my wife and I go to a theater or a play, I wonder if you do the same thing. You scope out the meeting place and pick where you want to sit because you want to have a good view. And after careful consideration, you take your seat confident that, in fact, you do have a good view. But one complication comes in when someone sits directly in front of you who's quite a bit taller than you are, then all your plans are messed up. You don't want to make a scene or hurt the person's feelings, but you want to switch seats and quickly. You want to have an unobstructed view of what is happening on stage. In Luke 19, we have precisely this issue. For Zacchaeus was short of stature, and he couldn't see above the crowds. He wanted to get a clear view of Jesus, and so he climbs up a sycamore tree because Zacchaeus was small, and he wanted to have a clear view of Jesus. I know from time to time, once again returning to my childhood, I come across a passage which is connected to a children's song. So bear with me for a moment. Zacchaeus was a wee little man. A wee little man was he. He climbed up a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. As the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today, for I'm coming to your house today." That wasn't too hard, was it? Now that we have a trip down memory lane with that children's song, let's dig into the text of this passage. So my first point is the Lord Jesus reaches out to Zacchaeus. Let me say this about Zacchaeus before we go further. Zacchaeus is called in Luke 19:2 a chief tax collector. This term is found nowhere else in the New Testament, but it clearly refers to the head of the local tax collectors. Zacchaeus would employ others in the actual collecting of taxes, while he would gather together all that they had collected and pass it on as the Romans required. Jericho was near a major trade route, and since there is much tax to be taxed and much taxes to be collected, yes, Zacchaeus was quite rich. In Luke 19:5, our Lord says to Zacchaeus, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for today I must stay at your house." By our Lord saying that he must stay at your house, he's not merely saying he wished to stay at his house, but a strong statement of Christ's intention. Our Lord invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. And he stays at Zacchaeus' house as part of his divine mission. It is here that Christ takes the initiative. Notice, Zacchaeus didn't say anything to the Lord. He didn't cry out. He didn't say, "Lord, can you come to my house?" Jesus says to Zacchaeus that he wants to stay at his house today. He initiates the encounter with Zacchaeus, who invites himself to Zacchaeus' house. And in this example, we see the great mercy of our Lord taking the initiative in bringing salvation to Zacchaeus. The text at the end of the passage recalls the repeated words of our Lord many times in the gospel, that Jesus, as the Son of Man, came to seek and save that which was lost. We are the ones who are lost, and he came to earth as sent by his Father, and God the Holy Spirit works in us to bring us to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior. In all these instances of salvation, we see our triune God seeking out us who are in need of God's saving mercy. Luke 19:9 says, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost.'" Our Lord, in saying these words, is also responding to the crowd's criticism of Christ, affirming that the very nature of his ministry was to seek those who had strayed from God, whether Jew or Gentile. And while some of them among the Jewish people are critical of the Lord for casting aspersion on Christ's character because he had the gall to even associate with this sinner, it is the sick who are in need of the doctor and who know they are in need of a great physician. Likewise, it is those who know that they are lost who receive help from God, Jesus, the Good Shepherd. But all those who act like they're not lost and who are sick and act like they don't need a physician, they're not going to get any help because they haven't even begun to realize their lostness and their spiritual sickness and death. We witness and hear the reaction of those in the crowd who are complaining that Jesus associates with sinners. This isn't the first time that this has happened in the gospel accounts. Jesus is criticized on numerous occasions and guilt by association. Those critical of both Zacchaeus and of Christ for associating with Zacchaeus are treating Zacchaeus as if he weren't Jewish. Because the Jewish people had special contempt for the tax collectors as especially wicked people who did the dirty work of collecting taxes for a pagan empire, they viewed tax collectors as traitors to the Jewish nation and not to be considered as part of God's people. Jesus calls Zacchaeus a son of Abraham, thus acknowledging him to be part of God's people. Our Lord is acknowledging Zacchaeus as a true Jew who follows the faith of Abraham, not merely a physical descendant of Abraham, but a true son of Abraham. Our Lord's statement commending Zacchaeus as a true son of Abraham is a marked contrast to his critics that view Zacchaeus as a renegade and riffraff. Jesus has come to seek and save the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and this included people such as Zacchaeus, a man who was lost but now found and saved because of Jesus and his work as God and Messiah. I believe this has an important application also of the church's ministry, which we are to exclude no one from the proclamation of the gospel. We must never view a certain group of people as outcasts or untouchable, but view all people as made in the image of God and those for whom Christ came to save. Since all people, without exception, need the forgiveness of our sins and need the one and only Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, the church must follow the universal mandate from our Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel to all people, to all creation. Making disciples of all people and baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and instructing them to observe and obey all that Christ has taught us. That brings me to my second point, and that is Zacchaeus' response. Let us consider Zacchaeus' response to our Lord's grace. Once our Lord tells Zacchaeus he must stay at his house, Zacchaeus hurried down the tree and received the Lord Jesus with great gladness and joy. We hear these words in Luke 19:8. Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, half of my possessions I will give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will give back four times as much." In the New American Standard Version, our Pew Bible, the translators translate these two verbs in the future tense: "I will give to the poor," and "I will give back four times." These verbs actually are present tense verbs, "I give" and "I give back," but Zacchaeus hasn't yet done them yet. He hasn't yet restored them, and so they use the future tense. But the present tense verbs, "give" and "give back," are statements of firm resolve that he is committed to do them. Even though they're still in the future, he's going to do them. This verb shows the emphasis of his resolve and commitment. So even though he hadn't yet accomplished these resolutions, he is committed to do them, and they are as good as done. We see these two elements in Zacchaeus' repentance and his determination to turn away from his former ways of stealing and cheating. We see his generosity in that he is willing to give up half of his possessions to the poor. And the other aspect of his repentance is he has promised to restore back to those who has cheated. Now, the law of God has required in the Old Testament restoration of the amount wrongfully taken plus a fifth of that amount as penalty. So a tax collector wrongfully, if he took $100, according to the Old Testament, he should pay back the $100 plus $20 worth of penalty for a total of $120. But here Zacchaeus is saying, "I will restore four times." So if you stolen $100, now you owe $500. The $100 you took four times amount that equals the $500. The larger amount that you stole, the bigger that amount becomes. But Zacchaeus, in joyful that Christ has accepted him and reached out to him, he goes beyond the law's demands. The larger the amount he has stolen, the more costly his financial restoration. Can you imagine if he stole 10,000? God's renewing work in him is evident, and he shows it in the willingness to give of his pocketbook to restore what he has stolen. The tax collector's repentance and change of heart were not the cause of Christ seeking him out. They were the consequence and the fruit of Christ's work for him and in him. God changes our hearts and we are changed. And the story of Zacchaeus stands in stark contrast to the rich ruler. Coming so soon after our Lord's emphatic statement in Luke 18:24 about the difficulty of those who are rich to enter God's kingdom, this incident exhibits a striking and an encouraging manifestation of God's grace, yes, even to the rich. Not only can God save those who are wealthy, in this case, he does. And this man's name is Zacchaeus. Christ seeking for and saving Zacchaeus was an image and promise of how he would later seek and save people from every nation, kindred, tribe, and language, and yes, every economic status. And may I remind all of us in this sanctuary that anybody in the middle class in America over ancient times would be considered very rich. If you have running water and electricity and enough food in your freezer for the next week, according to this world's standards right now, we are very rich. And this passage gives us good news that God can save even us, who could so easily be tied to the riches of this world. May we, with the same joy and intense zeal that Zacchaeus had, serve the Lord who has graciously called us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his Son, whom he loved and shed his blood for us. Let us pray. Lord God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, we give you praise and glory for your mercy shown to Zacchaeus and by extension, your saving love for the world and even to us. So enlarge our hearts, O Lord, and enkindle our zeal that we may fervently desire the salvation of all people and with more ready diligence labor in the extension of your kingdom, who gave himself for the life of the world, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.